Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me, unless you abide in me, unless you stay in relationship with me. Many of us here today have, in some way or another, at some time or another, fallen in love with Jesus Christ. We've been brought into the relationship with Jesus, and we found that our lives are better in relationship than not in relationship. Many of us have come and we've had powerful experiences with God. We've encountered Him. We've come to know Him. And our lives have been changed. But then, oftentimes, with what I know has happened for me and what has probably happened for you once or twice or three times or maybe a lot, is that we have an encounter with God, we fall in love with Him, or we fall more deeply in love with Him, and then life gets back to, quote, normal. And then we get back into the ordinary, and there are lots of things that try to pull us out of relationship. Sometimes we fall into this false idea that Christianity is just about making morally good choices, or this false idea that Christianity is just some kind of lofty ideal that we really can't do. And sometimes we forget that Christianity is about an encounter with a person. And that person, whose name is Jesus Christ, invites us to remain with Him. To choose Him every single day, every moment. Having fallen in love with Him, He invites us to do the work of staying in love with a person that gives your life and mine new horizon and a decisive direction. A direction towards heaven. So last week, we talked about three things that take us out of communion, or perhaps three categories of things that take us away from the vine, that take us away from the relationship of love to which God has called us, and which you and I know. Remember? Remember when you knew that you knew that you knew that God was with you? Remember that time? Maybe it was in confession or at Mass. Maybe it was at a prayer meeting or just walking out in the field or looking in the beauty of nature. Or maybe it was a time of deep sickness and deep suffering. Do you remember that? When you knew that you knew that you knew that God was real, that God was with you, and that, well, because of that, something was different in your life. But last week, we talked about the three things that pull us out of that. Priorities, pattern, and pace. This week, and next week, and the week after that, we want to talk about one thing each week. This week is living in the present moment, which is facilitated by silence. Next week is prayer and seesaws. And the last week is about ships. Silence, seesaws, and ships. Three things. Three ways that we live, that we stay on the vine, that we stay in the chair, that we choose to be in relationship with Him. The present moment. If we have abandoned ourselves to God, there is only one rule for us: the duty of the present moment. Y'all, God is. God isn't in the past or in the future. God just is. And God desires to encounter you and to encounter me in each moment, in the now. But a lot of things take us out of the now. There are a lot of distractions. I don't know about you, but in my life, there are lots of distractions that take me out of the now. And it turned my gaze to something else. And one of those distractions, it's right here. It's my cell phone. How many times do, just because I don't want to deal with what's in front of me, or because I'm tired and I don't just know where to go, maybe I've made a pattern, a bad pattern, a vice, I just go to my cell phone. Cell phone is a powerful tool, but, well, let me tell you a story. On Thursday, I went to Grand Isle for just like a day of retreat, and I put my cell phone away. I prayed Mass. I prayed 3 holy hours. I had read like 100 pages in a book. I took a nap. And as I was there that day, man, I did all that stuff, and I'm like, man, I don't have anything to do. I've got a lot of time. This is nice. And I realized that how much time I take just like looking at my phone or checking my phone or scrolling through Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And I said, man, something's different here. Well, then Friday, I was still in Grand Isle, but Friday wasn't a retreat day. Friday was a work day. So I worked and I worked and I worked, and I got to be honest with y'all, I fell into one of my bad habits. I was living at the wrong pace. And so I worked and I worked and I worked and I worked all day Friday, and I didn't remember the Lord as much as I should. I did the prayer I was supposed to. I made my holy hour and all that, but I didn't remember the Lord in the subtle things, in the little things. And all of a sudden I found myself tired. It actually wasn't all of a sudden. I was getting tired throughout the day, but I didn't pay attention to it. And I found myself tired, and I started scrolling through my cell phone, and like hours, like 2 hours, I wasted here. Because my pattern, when I'm tired, had become to go on my cell phone, and I was living at a pace where I wasn't paying attention, and all of a sudden, I just wasted time and was pulled out of communion with God. Forgot about how God was loving me. I know that didn't happen to anybody else, but that's what happened to me. So the cell phone is a tool. And the more powerful the tool, the more good it can do. And the more powerful the tool, the more dangerous it is. Let me tell you another story. When I was young, maybe 11 or so, we had Hurricane Lily came through Church Point. Hurricane Lily passed right over Church Point, and because of that, well, our roof was short, a bunch of shingles. So my dad and I, we got some new shingles, and we got some hammers and some nails, and we climbed up on the roof, and we started fixing the roof. And as we were fixing the roof, it was one day, 2 days, 3 days, I don't remember when it was, but we were on the roof, and it was the afternoon, and it was hot, and I was hammering away at those nails on those shingles, and I was in a tight space, and I was tired, and yow! Smashed my thumb. And I didn't cry, my eyes just watered. Yeah. So I got down from the roof, and I got some ice and all that stuff, and I was fine. That tool? I knew how to use it, but I wasn't in a good, I was too tired to use it. I didn't use it well. So I got a big old bruised thumb. What if it wasn't a hammer? What if it was a table saw? It wasn't a roof. I was building a shed and had my table saw and I was using the table saw. But what if I didn't use my table saw? Well, a table saw is a powerful tool. You can get a lot done quickly. But if you mess up with a hammer, you get a bruised thumb. If you mess up with a table saw, you don't have a thumb. The more powerful the tool, the more good it can do. The more powerful the tool, the more dangerous it is. So I encourage all of us this week, practically, open up your bulletin, look at the questions, look at the statistics. Am I using my cell phone in a way that's good for me or in a way that's harmful to me? Is my cell phone helping me to stay on the vine or moving out from the vine? Am I trying to draw my life, my energy, from a lifeless object? Or am I trying to draw my life, or rather, am I receiving my life from Jesus? Where do I go when I'm drained? What distracts me from the present moment? To what am I plugged in? So I encourage us all this week to just reflect on how we use this tool of our cell phone. And secondly, invite us all to take some time in silence. If God is in the present moment, and if I want to hear God's voice, people tell me that all the time. Father, I want to hear God. Father, I want to know God speak to me. Well, there's still only two questions. You want God to speak to you? Yeah. Do you read the Bible? And do you spend time in silence? Silence sometimes is hard, because sometimes we go into silence and we're not really sure what to do. Because sometimes we go into the silence and we feel like our life has to be full of noise. Maybe just because everywhere I go and all the time there's noise. Maybe because I'm always hearing something come to my ears. I don't know. But a lot of times we start in the silence and it feels uncomfortable, and we want to bail because it's uncomfortable. I encourage you, don't bail out on the silence. Like, if you want to hear God, if you want to choose, if you want to persevere in remaining on the vine, like don't be afraid. It will be uncomfortable, but don't be afraid of that. You might not be sure what to do. That's okay. You don't have to do anything, especially right now. Just be 10 minutes this week, every day, in the silence. You don't have to try to pray. You don't have to start to do anything. Just to take 10 minutes in the silence. Another thing that might come up is that when we go into the silence, sometimes our worries come up, or sometimes our hopes, or sometimes our dreams, or sometimes temptations. And that's all okay. Like, those are all good things for our prayer. And so as you go into the silence, as you practice the silence this week, as we try to take 10 minutes a day, like, don't be afraid of the silence. And if things come up, whether positive things or negative things, whether easy things or hard things, just invite, say, Jesus, I trust in you. Just, that's all. And just live in the silence. Okay, third thing. Third thing this week that keeps me in the chair, that keeps me in relationship with God. A lot of times when I go into the silence, stuff will pop up just about my own life. Sometimes sin will pop up, or things that are on my heart from my day, or things that are coming up in the future. And those are great things to look at, because God is speaking to us in our thoughts and our feelings and our desires. St. Augustine, he put it like really beautifully. He said, "You were within, but I was outside, seeking you there. I rushed headlong. I mishappened. You were with me, but I was not with you. You were within." St. Augustine's telling God this. "God, I know you were within me, but I was without. You were here all the time, and yet I was searching for you in the noise and the distractions of the world." But when we take the time of silence, we'll slowly begin to be attuned to the voice of God. Silence is kind of like those old radios. You know, at home in my dad's shop, there was a radio that had a turn dial. It wasn't digital. You had to turn it, and you had to get the little dial to the right station to hear it. And the radio didn't work very well, so it wasn't. It was hard. It was hard to get it to turn it to the right station. And you turn and turn and turn, and you want to get, you know, to 97.3, and you get to like 97.2 and a half, and you'd hear something, and you're like, yes! And then you turn too far, and it would go away. And then as you get close, you might hear the radio station, hear Garth Brooks, and you, yes, I'm going to hear Garth Brooks, but it's staticky. And it took, I don't know how long it took me, but it took me, y'all, it seemed like forever to figure out how to just hit the dial right on 97.3 and to hear, well, our time in silence is a lot like the practice with the dial. We usually hear lots of static at first. Lots of things from the world, lots of things from the outside. But as we sit there, as we just live in the silence, we slowly get better at turning the little dial. And after a while, we can hit it every time. After a while, we can hit the station we want and hear the voice of God. So as you enter into the silence this week, maybe just some questions. We'll talk about more what to do with these questions as we move forward, but what thoughts pop up most consistently? What people or relationships, what, quote, distractions pop up? Pay attention to your body. Do you feel anything? Peace, warmth, turmoil, nerves, worries, concerns. How do you feel in the silence? And just hold on to that. Maybe say, just, Jesus, I trust in you. Not that we have to have it all figured out, or not that we even have to trust Jesus completely today. But, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus. I'm just going to sit in the silence because I know that will eventually lead me to prayer. I'm just going to put away my phone and my other, like, actual things that distract me. And I'm just going to be here with you because, well, I want to choose to choose. I want to live in relationship with you, not just in the big moments of my life, but in everyday time. I want to remain on the vine. I want Jesus to draw my life from you. Amen.